sometimes when we start this beginning part, I don't know where it's going to go.
Sometimes it goes somewhere good.
And sometimes not as good. And what I don't like to do is do 9 takes on it. So we're just going to, this will be it.
This is one.
Oh, we're in the middle of it right now. Do you feel the energy?
Yes.
Yeah, that's how you can tell that this is the one. It's that vibrance.
Yeah, no, I'm feeling it. It's building.
Oh, no, it's over now. We're done. Hello and welcome to episode 144 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubingen, Germany, and with me as always is
Adam in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
What is up, Adam? 144.
This is 144. I lost track after it's 11, I think.
Yeah. Why? I'm jazzed about one. Why is not 144 a good number?
I don't know.
Perfect square, 12. 12 squared.
Okay, you're the math guy.
It's one of those things that you probably learned that one in school, maybe.
I think so.
You should know it. Let me give you a little math tip, just for a life math tip.
Okay.
Well, for tip one, have a smartphone because they have math calculators on there.
Okay.
That's probably help you out. But if you learn all the squares from 1 to 15, your life will be very, very easy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure how, but...
Oh, it just comes up. Sometimes you'll be at a party and someone will be like, hey, man, what's 13 squared? And you'll be like, oh, it's 169. And they're like, wow, that guy is awesome. Wait a second. 14, 196. 15, 225. Done.
See, then, you just can't wait to use this information.
No, it comes up at parties all the time.
Okay.
And they're like...
Not the parties that I'm going to.
And then they're like, hey, man, what's 16 squared? I'm like, hey, is there punch? And I get out of there. I don't bother with 16. You don't need it. It's not important. But there you go. So 12 squared. Welcome to episode 12 squared. That's what I'm telling you.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. 12 squared.
Yeah. It's a dozen.
Yes.
Yeah. And consequently, I want to go on for 12 minutes about this.
Okay. Well, you got how many more? 8 more?
Amazon.
Right.
People keep buying stuff on Amazon. A couple people bought cameras last week.
Great.
Yes. Good new cameras, too.
Really?
Yeah. Expensive
really
cameras.
Expensive ones, I hope.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's that. We'll talk about that.
They'll probably need some lenses to go with those.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
At least a couple. But
yeah.
What else we got? So make sure, yeah, if you're going to buy something on Amazon, please click through the two hosers. It helps us out very much, and we very much appreciate it. That's
great. Yes.
That's that. Government shutdown this week.
Mm-hmm.
We're okay. We didn't get shut down.
Oh, that's good.
I'm not sure how it works. I'm not sure what they shut down, like how they just come in and just, no, man, this is closed.
Yeah, I think they all just have a party.
Could be. But just as a heads up, we were spared, so the show goes on.
Okay.
There you go. It's hockey season, Adam.
It is.
I'm just going to plow through all these things quickly. There's no segues. This is a segue-free show.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's that. Hockey season again.
Yes.
How you feeling?
I enjoy hockey, so no, I'm
I understand
feeling
that.
Good.
Are you feeling optimistic or what?
About my team?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not.
No, 0-1.
Yeah, 0-1. Not optimistic at all. Absolutely not.
I did read an article, though, but I could care less. I mean, I didn't care that much about the home team when they were losing when I was there. And generally, I jump on the bandwagon like everybody else.
Right.
The difference is I fully admit it, that I'm a bandwagon jumper.
Okay.
You're not, though. You do stick with the team.
I stick with the team, but I also will call it like I see it, and mm-hmm. I do not see anything... that resembles a team that can win. And I also am a believer that if you're not trying to win, then you should be trying to rebuild, and they're doing neither. They're under the guise of trying to win with a team that has no chance of really winning the whole thing. So
you know what they are doing though is cashing your paychecks.
Yeah, yeah.
Or your checks, cashing you not your paychecks, but
probably not my paychecks. That would be illegal, I think.
Right. That would be some sort of a fraud. No, I'm sure what they will do is come out with a fourth jersey this year just to generate some revenue. That's their move.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't put it past them for sure.
That's kind of the thing. Great. I did see an article in the paper the other day, online, about that they do have a new fireworks laser show before the game starts.
Great.
And so that's what they're very excited about.
Yeah, yeah, that'll be awesome.
I've been to Laser Floyd, guys. The end. What else are we gonna do here?
I don't know, but I am going to still watch part of the game tomorrow night, and probably a little bit of the games in the future whenever I'm available, only to just tell other people I told you so, that this isn't a good team.
So this is a win-win for you.
Yeah, and the other thing is that if by some stroke of amazing luck everything bounces right and they happen to win, well then I'll be thrilled.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a win-win. Either I told you so or I'm delightfully surprised.
You see, you can't lose. That's a great attitude, man.
Sort of hedging my bets either way.
Yep. That to me is an oddly positive attitude.
Yeah, so there you go.
Nicely
I won't
done.
Be disappointed this way.
Okay. We finally got a bad review, Adam.
A bad review, a podcast bad review. We've had bad reviews before. Didn't we get called? What was the name we got called by an English guy? It was an English slag we got called the way back.
Oh, I thought that was a compliment.
No, what was it? What was the term that we?
I don't know.
Use?
I was not, I'm not up on my Cockney slang.
Oh,
I thought it was good.
No. Someone slagged us, and we made fun of it and stuff. And
oh, but that wasn't a review, was it?
I think it was.
Like this was. I'm talking about. We got an actual somebody. Like we get correspondence. Which P.S. That's what this show is about. This week is listener correspondence.
Okay.
But this was an actual online posted review somewhere, and I was thrilled because all of our reviews on like iTunes and that have been very very nice, and I thank people for taking the time to write that.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. But it didn't mean anything didn't mean as much until we got hammered by a bad one. And I was kind of disappointed that we hadn't had a bad one yet. And now I say we had a bad one. You had a good one. For me, it was bad. But for you, it was good.
Well, that's double good for me.
Right. Yeah. So anyways, I just want to say, hey, thanks to your mom for writing that review. yeah. At one point when she was like, you know, she's calling me names, and then she said, you know, but my son is really good. That was a good giveaway.
That was the giveaway.
Yeah, I knew it was all about you. And she called you honey a couple times. And so, you know, thanks a lot, Adam's mom.
All right.
Yeah.
So. Hey, this is kind of off topic, but before I forget, because that's what will likely happen if I don't mention it soon, I discovered a new photography tip trick when shooting children today.
Okay.
So I was out at the park with the kids bright and early in the morning. They wanted to go use the playground before school started. So
what?
We're out of the play. Yeah, I know.
Your cartoon machine broken?
I guess so. But they were both anxious to get to the park. Jack has been conquering the monkey bars and wanted to show me. And it was actually nice. It wasn't raining for a change here. So they beckoned me to take them to the park. So we went about half an hour before school started, and we were out playing, and I thought, oh, good time of day. The light was nice, so I brought my camera. And I discovered something that I was probably doing for a long time, but just, I guess, never really thought about it in conscious terms.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the move. So you're trying to get your kids to, A, have a smile,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, do something interesting. So I had them, and I had them kind of behind a tree, and I sort of wanted to have them sort of peek out. And so I was kind of, you know, playing, trying to find what game would work. And then I found sort of a root beside the tree, and then I had them had them jump off of it.
Okay.
And the move is you find something that they really want to do, whatever it is, near something where you think there is a good photo. So in this case, there was a tree with all sorts of neat texture, and there was a root kind of growing off that tree where I decided I would have them jump off of it. And they were willing to do this over and over again, and they wanted to make silly faces for the camera, which, again, none of this is what I wanted to capture. I wanted the picture of them just poking out from the tree. But by creating the game, there was always those, I don't know, 3 or 4 seconds each time they lined up to do this little game over and over again, where they were standing exactly where I wanted them and where they were smiling in anticipation of doing the funny little jump or funny face or whatever it was. So again, with the camera and the shutters, and they're pretty next to nearly silent, I was firing off 3 or 4 pictures every time they'd line up before they actually did whatever the goofy thing is. And then I'd fire off the one photo for their sake to show them, oh, this is the silly face. And then, of course, they'd want to come look at the LCD, laugh at themselves, and go back and do it again. So the moral of the story is, find them some fun game to play near where you want your photo, and then just snap off a bunch of photos every time they go back and line up at the spot. You could even tell them to wait a second, and then go, right?
And so shoot around what they're doing.
Exactly. Nice. I mean, I'm sure that's intuitive to you, photographs a lot of kids, but just never something that I actually thought of. I was doing it, but never really thought of it this way. So a good tip out there for people who don't shoot kids a lot and aren't familiar with their tendencies, find them a game, shoot around it.
Good. Done. I don't want to see I want to see some of those pictures.
Yeah. Is that something you do consciously?
Generally, yes. Yeah. I usually anticipate having it happen after their little fun event, and I figure, but having it before, that's a good move. But yes, I do set things up in a zone of where fun can happen. And how about I just answer it this way? Yes.
Okay.
That's probably right. The better answer.
Okay. We can move on now. But I thought I would forget that, so I thought I'd mention it. And that, just right up front, a photo tip, because we rarely do those.
Not up front, we don't. So you can stop listening. From here on out, we're just going to talk about cheesecake and...
There'll be something buried in the 38th minute if you skip ahead.
Yeah. Absolutely. Unless I edit it down to 37, you don't know. Like to keep you guessing.
Yeah.
Besides that, did you shoot anything interesting this week?
Just my photo challenge. I really didn't take any photos outside of the photo challenge. Actually, I took a few pictures in and around what's my photo challenge photo, but I shot some photos for that, and then nothing until this morning when we went out with the kids at the park.
This is a good time.
That's all I got.
Good time for you to take your camera with you. Like what you just said, like with going to the playground, I find that even though I do not like the fact that it's getting darker earlier, it makes me cry a little bit inside and a lot outside.
Yeah.
It does mean that magic hour comes at a better time for my kid.
True.
In her sort of daily sleep cycle.
Right.
Which, by the way, is no sleep right now, but that's a whole other thing. But it comes at a really good time to go out and take photos. And so I find that I'm getting, you know, an opportunity to take much. Now, I didn't do it this week either. I didn't capitalize on it. But I'm going to. This week coming up, I'm going to make sure I have my camera with me in a lot of these situations for that good light that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So do it. So take more pictures this week. I didn't take much this week. I shot some at the playground, a couple different playgrounds with some friends of hers.
Yeah.
And then one day by herself. She just likes to go to the playground, like your kids, obviously.
Yeah.
Although she's past the monkey bars. Tell Jack, while he's mastering them, mm-hmm. she's long past.
No, these are the, his arm reach is a barely, these are 6 foot off the ground monkey bars, mm-hmm. where he's fully extended. This is the real deal. This is the kindergarten monkey bars, buddy.
We're on the grade 5 ones. We're 7 feet off the ground.
No, I don't think you are.
I want
video evidence of this.
Oh, sure. No problem. No, she's obviously not on the monkey bars. She does the climbing, though. She's a big fan of the climbing. And so, but which the only reason I mention that, besides the joke, is that it makes for good photo opportunities. So I do enjoy that, and I encourage her to do climbing up all the different apparati.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and we like to visit a different playground every day. We like to run the circuit, like kind of like a playground crawl.
Right.
We hit them all, and see what they have to offer.
Mix it up.
Absolutely, you got to mix it all up. But
yeah.
Photo challenge. That's what we're getting to. See, I told you there'd be no segues. It's not a segue.
No.
You know, it's a segue. Hey, that reminds me of the photo challenge, Adam.
Yeah.
That's a segue. Photo challenge was your favorite technique. Now, it was mine, so why don't I go first?
Sure.
Here's mine. Here's my daughter again. I had something else in mind, of course, always, but she's not cooperative.
She's reading the morning paper.
She is reading the morning paper. Yeah, they don't call it the terrific twos, do they?
No.
But wow, hey, isn't this awesome twos? No, it's called the terrible twos for a reason. Anyways, but so she, I thought, okay, great. I had taken some pictures at the playground the other day using my favorite technique, which is the ProMist filter.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, nah, I want to do my real, real favorite technique. And so this is it. So I set this up and try to get her to cooperate. And this is the best I could do. And it worked out okay. But my favorite technique is the gray background. One light in a umbrella with a gray background. That's my favorite technique.
Okay.
So there it is. That's what the picture is. And there is a ProMist. Because I do like that. I shoot with it all the time now. The end.
Great. Yeah, nothing wrong with the photo. I like the fact that she's looks very much into what she's reading.
Mm-hmm.
So the finger on the lip, I definitely think adds something. Overall, it's a little too gray for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like just too much gray.
Yeah.
Between like I don't know if it's just the color she's wearing and in the black and white, and maybe is this better in color? Just there isn't enough separation. All the grays just to me all kind of blend together.
I hear you.
That's my only feedback. Or again, her face sticks out and her hand sticks out because they're clearly in her hair, but everything else between the background, between her striped shirt and between the newspaper all kind of bleeds together.
I hear you. I didn't see this. I have no problem with.
Okay.
She has the color one's fine too. I mean it's okay, but it's a purple shirt, and it takes away and it's a whole color thing. And I do like the fact that it's gray and it's basically her sticking out.
Okay. And I think that's just a preference thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. That's all. That's the only feedback I got for you.
The other thing that the main difference here, besides the one light thing. Now, the reason, I mean, there's many reasons I like just the one light. It's very, very simple. Very simple to do. Like, it's a really easy setup. And the reason I like it so much, besides that, is that it all becomes all about your subject. There's no, you know, you're not looking at any fancy lighting tricks. Like, it doesn't take away. It's all about what's happening in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's that. So, but the ProMist filter, I think, adds a nice little bit of grit to this, and just a tiny bit, and brings up the shadows a little bit. So it does reduce the contrast. So that might be what you're thinking about, what you're noticing when you say it's just the grays kind of blend in. Maybe in this case it doesn't work for you.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Okay. Let's have a look at yours.
Yeah, I found this challenge particularly difficult because when you issued it,
mm-hmm.
It sounds easy enough, your favorite technique. And I realized quickly I do not have one. I do not have a favorite technique. And so I honestly rack my brain every time I go to take a photo, especially like a lit photo with off-camera flash. Unless I'm shooting on like a white background, like the white background paper, which I like to do, but don't do a ton of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have a favorite technique. I always just kind of make it up as I go along. So I guess I just kind of decided that I was gonna make a favorite technique, although I can't say that I've ever done exactly this technique before. But I'll tell you what I did do, and maybe it goes in the bag of tricks, but what I did here was I'm definitely a big fan of the softbox. I have the Cheetah Stand Q box, and it comes with a grid, and that allows me to control the direction of the light very nicely on that softbox. So I lit Jack with the softbox, and that could have been enough, and I could have, you know, turned the background whatever shade of brown I wanted, because it's a brown wall, and depending on whether I take all the ambient light out of the room versus bring in some window light, or in this case, I took all the ambient light out of the room and then added a bare speed light up and behind them to camera right, and then I just decided to create a gradient effect on the wall. So I kind of dialed in what I wanted the background to be, and then the nice thing about, I'm shooting this in a really small room, and so I've got the cue box lighting him, and again, the cue box is like maybe 2 feet at most away from his face, and he's maybe another 3 feet from the wall. So this is all done in super tight quarters, and so this cue box is camera left and sort of up and on a probably a 45 to 60 degree angle up camera left. And I can keep all with the fall off of that light and the direction of it off of my gradient that I've created in the background. So I just love the fact that I can set up the background, bring that light into Lightroom, and in such a close quarter still keep that light from affecting what I have in my background.
All right.
Well. So that's it. So there's the sales pitch for buying one of those cue boxes for $100. Absolutely, without a doubt, the best light modifier that I own.
I actually need one for Tuesday, and I'm just, it would not get here in time.
Yeah, or will they ship it to Germany?
I don't know.
Yeah, they will. Probably cost as much as the softbox.
So. Probably. Yeah. Point is, I need a softbox by Tuesday.
Awesome.
And it's not going to happen, so I'm going to have to make do with my umbrellas instead.
Yeah, which again, I mean, like we've talked about in the past, you know, using sort of the black cover in different angles and being able to control it a little more. Now, it doesn't do what the grid does, but still, you can get by.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
But I highly recommend this to anybody who lives in the U.S. because it's out of Texas, and I'm 90% sure that within the U.S., because when I bought mine, I shipped it within the U.S., that the shipping is free. This one's a no-brainer for someone who's looking for a cheap and portable and very flexible light modifier.
Well, you're skipping ahead at this point.
Sorry. There's another tip. Buy one of these.
Great. No, I like it. I like the fact that now Jack is huge, is what I've noticed.
Yeah.
Jack must be 40 feet tall in this.
Yeah. No, he is. He's huge.
Or not the actual Stanley Cup.
No, it isn't. But it's one of those McDonald's like little models that they made, I want to say, about 10 years ago.
Okay.
This is in Canada. I don't think they offered this in the United States, but in Canada really? they had one of these, you know, every time you buy a Happy Meal or something. I don't remember exactly what it was, but you could go around collecting these different trophies. It had all the different trophies that they give out in the NHL, and including, of course, the Stanley Cup, which was the hardest one to come by. So I collected these things, and they're sitting in a box, and I found this, and it just sits out on our mantelpiece. And like we talked about with the start of hockey, everything getting rolling this week, I kind of thought, oh, Jack was I was getting him dressed to go to hockey, and I thought, oh, he's in his hockey stuff, let's take a picture with the Stanley Cup, and the rest was him. I just sort of said, hey, pretend you're celebrating, pretend you just won, and he made all these silly faces,
and he was, and like, actually, hey, I'm a unicorn.
Yeah, and I actually thought that, you know, if you held it a little more in front of him, I could probably find a pretty good match for this pose with somebody who won the Stanley Cup last year.
You're right.
And every year before that.
Yes. Did he drink champagne out of it?
No, I
think ginger ale.
He did a shot of apple juice.
That's the way to go. So, well, I'm just impressed with the fact that as an adult without kids, you bought Happy Meals. So that's excellent.
Well, I'll do anything to get the replicas.
Absolutely. Yeah. Great. This week's topic is listener correspondence.
Okay.
Now, what does that mean? Does that mean listener questions? No, not exactly. But what we do get a fair bit of correspondence. We get questions and you know, basically people telling me, you know, how much they like me and they think Adam's a jerk, that kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Standard thing.
Yeah.
Or people telling us about their Amazon purchases.
Right. People actually love to hear.
I do love to hear that. I love the fact that people, not only do they take the time to buy it, but they actually tell us about it. So we're letting you know that we do appreciate that. Thank you very much. For example, Catherine just bought a Nikon D7100.
Okay.
As I mentioned at the top of the show.
Now, briefly. In some way, did she seek your advice prior to this purchase?
Yes.
Okay.
Not about that purchase, but about other stuff.
Okay.
She had other questions that I think we've talked about. But my only problem with, I mean, the D71's nice, but I think you need three of them.
Really?
Yeah, nice to have three or four extras kicking around, isn't it?
Yeah, you put an extra lens. Like, you never know, right?
Yeah. It's just, I mean, if not three, at least four of them. You should have four of them. No. I'm only, obviously, that's just for our benefit. No, it's great camera. They're all great cameras. But yeah, so she bought it through our site, and we appreciate that very much. So that's the kind of stuff that we get. Now, I think up until now, or I don't know how to put this, like we've always been open for questions, and I think we have, but I don't know if everybody feels like we're that kind of show where people can write in and have their questions answered and that. And so we want to make sure that you listeners know, please, if you have questions, send them to us and we'll start to do question and answer shows.
Mm-hmm.
Because we cover things that, you know, I cover things that we think are important, but there's a real good chance that we're missing out things that are important to you, and we would like to better explain that. So there you go. Doors are open.
That's great.
And we are very, very interested in meeting our listeners. And I mean, usually online because of the fact that the globe is a big place.
Right.
Do you call it the globe when it's the actual Earth?
Sure.
Circle the globe, I think is what it is. Yeah, so the Earth is so large that generally we meet people online, but occasionally we get the chance to meet them in person, and that's great too. So that's always an option. But what we would like to do is you know, see your photos and have you share your photos. Some people are sharing online on our Facebook page and taking the photo challenges and sharing them. We have one guy named Matt who is just catching up. Like he found our show somewhere, I don't know, after episode 100 was recorded probably, and went and got caught up. And is getting caught up on all the photo challenges.
And he's posting all on Facebook, right?
On Facebook and on the Flickr site, I believe.
Okay.
He's doing so many that, like I said, hey, man, I'm gonna try to get in there and give you some feedback, but I haven't had time. And he's posting at a great rate. Great rate. That was a breakfast cereal from the 70s. Great rate. So anyway, so yeah, we do encourage that, and we encourage people to comment on other people's photos. So there's that. So that's with that, we're going to share some of the correspondence we've got, the offline correspondence that we've got recently.
Okay, I can't wait.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. This is from Billy. Hi, guys. This is more directed at Alan, so that's me.
Okay.
I heard on a show recently that you're going to get one of the across-the-chest straps. The black rapid strap that Adam has is good, and I just recently had one, but sold it in favor of the Carry Speed. Have you heard of this Carry Speed brand of strap?
No.
Okay. The main reason I changed was the way that the strap attaches to the camera. Another benefit is how you can tighten the camera to your body. I guess if you're doing like James Bond stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think you should check it out. Not putting down the black rapid straps, but wanted to offer an alternative.
Okay.
Love the show, Billy, outside of Nashville. And P.S., still waiting to see your Star Trail photos. Yeah. So is yours done?
No.
No, neither is mine.
Yeah. I figure that I'll shoot it right after we finish the push-up challenge.
Oh, I did that already.
Oh.
Did you record yours?
No. I should take a video of it.
Oh, yeah. You should do it. I'm on the monkey bar challenges now. We're doing that. I'm doing that. Adam and I will play a game of Monkey Bar Chicken. That's what it's called, right? When you hang on there and like you tangle legs, or what was it? What was that when you played when you were a kid?
There was like, that was like the American Gladiator show. They had an event like that.
But you must have played that at school, right?
No, we never played that.
Are you joking?
We were too busy playing, I don't know, foot hockey, we called it. It was basically soccer with a tennis ball, but in Canada, you call everything hockey.
Foot hockey.
That's what we called it.
Oh, wonderful. It's actually a game they already have called soccer, but or football.
Yeah, we called it foot hockey, but it was a tennis ball. Yeah. And they don't play soccer with a tennis ball, so it wasn't soccer.
So why wasn't it foot tennis?
It could have been.
Yeah. That's where I would have gone. So I will check out that strap. I still haven't bought a strap yet.
Okay.
Because part of my strap requirements, there's a video component to it.
Right.
Meaning I need a lot of her video, so.
In all honesty, I mean, I don't know anything about this other strap at all, so I cannot comment on it, of course. But I'm not sure about the comment in terms of how the camera attaches to the strap. It is an unbelievably secure attachment on the Black Rapid. The only downside of it is if you want to put your camera on a tripod, you'd have to buy a separate adapter, or you have to unscrew the strap. That's the only, and I use a tripod almost never unless I want to be in the photo somehow.
Right.
So it's not really a deal breaker for me, but because the attachment of the strap screws into that bottom mount, you would need to unscrew it, or Black Rapid sells a little little tool that I don't know exactly how it works, but will allow you to not to mount it with the strap still attached, I'm guessing.
Gotcha.
So yeah. But the strap is just so awesome, and I can't imagine, like, for the type of photographer I am, where, you know, working around with kids and, you know, wanting to put the camera at your side and then quickly have access to take a photo. Like, it's just so unbelievably easy and yet comfortable. Cost-wise, it's very affordable. I'm guessing that, you know, the crisscross strap type setups are going to be considerably more expensive. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure who their target audience is, but I would think the everyman who we're marketing this podcast to would, the majority of people would do great with that Black Rapid strap.
Now, your Black Rapid is like a one strap, one shoulder.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And when you wear it, do you put it basically over your head and wear it like a sort of across your body?
Yeah.
Okay. That's how you do it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it has kind of like these two like locking pieces, so that if you're gonna keep the camera down by your side, there's kind of a front and a back lock, so it'll keep it in position if you're gonna be just walking for a while. Mm-hmm. But then you just unlock the top strap, and then when you go to pull the camera up to eye level, it just slides. Like it just moves very, very seamlessly. So yeah, very easy to use, definitely idiot proof.
So when you're walking with your camera, let's say you have your 60 with the 70-200 on there, and you're walking around. Where do you put the camera when you walk? Where is it on
just
your body?
Just by my hip. Yeah,
so on the resting side.
Yeah, down on the side. Yeah.
Okay. See, my natural thing, I tend to keep it behind me, like a hip level, but sort of or more behind, so I don't smash it into things. Even though I know yours now hangs, it does hang down, right?
Yeah.
But I like to not do that. Now, the downside to that is, I don't know if you've seen the video of the dude. I haven't seen it yet, but I get the idea of what is going on. The guy stealing the lens off the dude's camera.
Oh, yeah. I heard about it, but I haven't seen it.
You haven't checked it out yet. So if you are wearing your behind like I do, that's a bad thing to do in certain areas. Mm-hmm. Because at the playground, I think you're okay.
Yeah.
It's probably not, you're not going to get lifted, but on the subway, I wouldn't wear it there.
Yes, I agree.
I wouldn't even wear it out. It would go in the bag most likely. But
yeah, unless you're imminently taking photos, I'm not keeping that thing on my shoulder anyways.
Right. And more subway tip for you, when you are riding the subway or the SkyTrain in Vancouver or whatever it is, most places I go, don't put your wallet in your back pocket.
that's a good tip.
Good tip. Guess what? That's where they look. The pickpockets think that's where your pocket. That's really easy to do. So I don't do that.
Okay.
I keep it in my shoe.
Great.
So there you go. This one's from Steve. And this is, well, you already touched on the answer, but you can get into it some more. Hey, Alan. Hey, Adam. I really should have introduced myself a while ago, but never got around to it. Yes, Steve, that's a good point. We do appreciate that. Okay. I've really been enjoying the podcast. I discovered it a few months ago and listened to every episode, around 125 at the time, within 2 months. Yeah.
Okay. That's a lot of episodes in a short time span.
That is. I know that sounds a little extreme, but I work in a situation where I can put headphones on and work for 8 hours straight, so it's pretty easy to rack up the episodes.
Okay.
I used to live in Vancouver, so I know many of the areas you guys talk about. And yeah, there you go. Anyway, I'm a bit of a geek when it comes to the equipment, so I've forced myself to be pretty strict about buying only what I need and what I can really make good use of. Sounds like you, Adam.
Yes, absolutely.
Until throughout the episodes, listening to Adam's Flash adventures, I've finally been convinced to get the Yong Nuo triggers, right? And
sure.
Also, yeah. Looking at getting the Yong Nuo Flash, which is basically the same as getting the Canon 580, but for a lot less.
Okay.
And he already has the 430, get the Canon.
Right.
And of course, this means other accessories as well, and this is where I need some advice. I found the 24-inch softbox from Cheetah Stand that Adam bought, but I don't have a clue where to start with a light stand and a shoot-through umbrella. Cheetah Stand sells both of these as well, but I'd be interested to know what either of you are using. Any help would be greatly appreciated. So, Adam, you have your answer here. So you answered this in an email, but do you want to give us the broad strokes of the of that answer?
The broad strokes. Well, both of us, I mean, on your advice initially when I got into the off-camera lighting, I bought a couple of the Manfrotto 5001B stands, which are, you know, a metal, light, compact. They do the job. They're pretty good. You're going to find, you know, certainly stands that are sturdier out there, but not many that are lighter and more compact.
Right.
So they're definitely not overly expensive. I want to say on B&H they sell for around $50 US.
Mm-hmm.
But that's certainly a good stand. I know that Amber in the past had raved about the Cheetah Stand stands, which are a little more expensive, but not a lot more. And again, don't have any personal use with them, but considering how good the softbox is, I would absolutely be confident if I was going to buy another stand, which I don't need right now, it would be a Cheetah Stand just to try that out.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. And then as far as the other stuff, the umbrellas, I mean, I have a couple of different ones and really I don't pay too much attention to what brand name or anything. Umbrella to me is an umbrella. And I guess the only difference would be whether it comes with a black cover or not. And I would recommend getting one that does have that black cover. Just gives you the bounce capabilities. And it also, just like we've talked about, the ability to kind of flag off part of the light. So if you want to cover, if you want to use it as a shoot through, but if you want to just flag it off so only part of the light's coming through, then you can you have the ability to adapt with the black cover on the umbrella. But pretty much any brand will do there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need an umbrella clamp. I think we talked about that. But again, I would not break the bank on an umbrella clamp. And was there anything else?
I think that's it. With as far as umbrellas go, it's one of those things where I don't recommend necessarily buying the cheapest one because it will fall apart quickly.
Right. Yeah.
Whereas the most expensive ones will fall apart slightly less quickly. Because I don't know about you, my umbrellas take a beating.
Yeah.
They just get knocked around. Like I have two of they're the ones with the black cover like you just mentioned. And one of them's trash. It's out of use now. I can't even get it. I can't even set it up. It's just broken.
Okay.
And that happens. And the other one is just bent a little bit. And it doesn't affect the image yet, but it will basically fall apart shortly. It's just they get knocked around. I don't know if yours has ever tipped over.
Oh yeah, I've tipped mine over a couple of times.
And so I have that. It just happens, despite the fact that I have sandbags and. Try to avoid the tip over. It happens, especially when you have kids running around. You know, that's the only reason I would like my kids to be older. or kid, my kid, to be older is because, you know, then they won't hopefully want to grab daddy's flash and flip it over.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I would recommend the middle of the road umbrella and buy two of them. If you're going to have a shoot the black cover on, when I was still using two, I always kept one with the black cover on, one off.
Okay.
And that way, because the black cover's handy, but it's not like it just pops off in seconds.
No, that's true.
Or it goes back on in seconds. It's a little bit of a hassle. And if you want to shoot quickly, best to have one of each kicking around.
Yeah.
That's what I recommend. All right. And Darren, got an email from Darren the other day. This is actually a follow-up. So I'm going to come in the middle here. He introduced himself, and I said, thank you. And then he said, hey, and I said, hey, if you have any questions, shoot us an email. Since you asked, I have a million questions.
Okay, let's get one.
So buckle your seatbelt. Yeah. But one big one. I'm not a pro, more of an enthusiast on steroids. I started with my dad's old Pentax camera and shot some 35mm, and now I shoot with an entry-level Nikon D80. So D80, I was pretty sure it's about 6 years old, and it's roughly that. I think it was 2007 it came out.
Okay.
So roughly the same time as my 40D-ish in that zone. So I want to turn my passion of 25 years into my vocation.
Okay.
That means job.
Right.
No, I didn't know if you...
No, I knew. I'm a wordsmith.
I didn't know if you had a thesaurus handy.
No, I'm good with words.
Other than upgrading to a full frame Nikon eventually, if there were only three things I could do to start my career, what would you recommend they be? And he says, no pressure, just the future success and the feeding of my family. Which, yeah, so that sounds like pressure to me.
Yeah.
So, let me know what you think of this advice. Get a day job. That was my first advice. No, absolutely not. This is called the Two Hosers Photo Show.
Right.
So it's about photos. My first bit of advice is don't get too hung up on sensor size. Like, and this is the thing is the, cause he has the D80 isn't full frame.
Right.
It's a crop sensor from 2007. And so it's an older technology, but guess what? The pictures are great.
Okay.
I believe that's a 10 megapixel camera. On a 1.5 crop, and the images are fantastic. Now, of course, the newer cameras, are better with low light sensitivity.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you're going to get great images on the D80. So my advice there is use it until it falls apart and then upgrade. If it's working, keep using it.
Okay, yeah. And I guess it depends on what if you're going into business, what are you going to shoot, right?
Well, yeah, but that's the thing is if you get into that situation, you might be better off renting a camera for those few opportunities or few situations where you need, you know, something like low light or full frame or whatever it is. For most things that you shoot, you don't really need it. And so that's a good way. The last thing you want to do if you're going to be starting a business is want to, you know, dump a whole bunch of money at the beginning.
Oh, I thought that's what you do in businesses.
Not in successful ones. I don't think. I'm not a business major, but I don't think you don't get rich by writing checks.
Oh, okay.
That's good
advice.
That's how the saying goes. So, but the first thing is don't get too hung up on sensor size. Don't think that in order to be a pro, I have to have a full frame. Now, the odd thing about this advice is, as you can attest, it always comes from guys who have full-frame sensors.
Right.
It's guys like me saying, you don't need it, and yet I have two of them. So it is very hypocritical, because I love mine. I love my full-frame cameras.
Yes.
But I also love my 40D, too. So it's, you know, like I still shoot with it all the time. It will not die.
Yeah, and I love my T2i, and I still use that camera.
Yeah, they're great. You know, so I reminded him that I did write a series of blog posts about sensor size, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes if you want to know the difference between what crop sensors and all that. But point is, I still get great images from my beat up 40D and the 30mm lens. So there's that. Next bit of advice is, if you don't already have one, buy a prime lens. So you have your D80. It probably came with some sort of 18-55 lens or whatever it was. If you don't have one, get a prime lens. Now, my recommendation for your first prime lens, if you don't have any, if I was a Nikon guy, I would absolutely positively own the 35mm f1.8.
Okay.
Love it. Love the images from that. It's just an all-round great lens, especially on the crop sensor.
Right.
I think it only fits the crop sensor.
I think it only does, too. Right. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it does, but we'd have to check it.
And that's just a price thing. I mean, in order to make it affordable, yeah. It's around $200, depending on where you are, but let's just call it $200 for the sake of argument. You're going to get some great images on your crop sensor camera. Now,
would you be happy enough? Like, again, this guy's asking for pro advice. If you went and bought a prime 35, you know, and he's going to shoot probably mostly portraits, I'm guessing that's where, you know, the work is, if you're going to turn into a pro photographer.
Mm-hmm.
35 millimeter, I don't know. Is that I know it's on the crop, but it's not really the most pleasing focal length for shooting people.
It depends what you're shooting. Because I shoot a lot with a very similar lens, you know, in terms of well, the 30 millimeter Sigma is rather similar. It's not exactly the same, but rather similar to the 35. And I do shoot a lot of people shots with that. And it depends what you're doing. If you're going to shoot a real tight close-up, it's not always your best bet. It just because of the nature of, you know, how close you are to your subject, it does add a little distortion. So if you want to get that really in tight close-up shot, then you need a longer lens. But for most everyday stuff, this is going to give you some just great images.
Okay.
It's the perfect balance between getting, you know, wide enough to get enough of your environment, but yet a pleasing enough focal length to get good looking people in that environment.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, I think that there's definitely a strong argument there.
So, and it turns out he has prime lenses, but you know, I would start there and then I would add. I mean, maybe I'd go from the 35. I would then add the 85 millimeter after that, if you want to do portraits. Now, I don't know what the cost is in the Nikon world, but in the Canon f1.8 for the 85 millimeter is really reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
At around $350-$400 maybe.
Yeah.
And so I have one of those. I happen to love, no matter which camera it's on, whether it's the crop sensor or the full frame, I love that lens. And so I would go that way. You know, and the important part to remember is, despite what the guy at the Best Buy tells you, you don't need to have every focal length from 17 to 300 millimeters covered. They will sell you on that. Like, well, you need this zoom because, you know, what if you want to shoot at 77 mils? You know, you got to have that. Doesn't come up that often.
No, I agree.
You could technically, if you were to buy like an old used body and get the 35 mil and an 85 mil lens, you'd be set for most stuff that you need to shoot. That's my recommendation.
Okay.
Next step. This was the three-pronged.
Wow, step. You're still answering his question.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Next step is get comfortable with manual exposure.
I don't remember what the question is anymore. Oh, he wants to turn pro. What does he need to do?
Get comfortable with manual exposure.
Okay.
Especially with the exposure triangle, the ISO, aperture, and the last one is shutter speed.
Can we assume that he knows how to do this? He said 25-year kind of passion.
He's
enthusiast on steroids. There's a couple of you know, comments there that would lead me to believe that he's comfortable with manual exposure.
I'm assuming he is, but this is my advice to everybody who wants to get better at, especially when it comes to shooting with flash, which is going to be an add-on. If you're not already shooting with flash, whether it's on-camera flash, off-camera flash, you want to be comfortable with that exposure triangle to the point that you don't have to think about it. You know, like when you go out walking with your kids, you don't step out the door and then think, okay, left, right, left, right, left, right. you just walk.
They're not in the army.
No, I'm thinking in your own head. Like when you just go walk by yourself, let's say, when you walk to the car, you don't have to sit there and think, okay, left and right, then left and right.
Right. No, you're right.
You've done a lot of practice, and it's just become a thing. Now, you can actually get to that point with the camera. That's the idea, is you don't want to have to think about it like, okay, listen, I'd like the depth of field to be narrower, and then so then I'll have to do this and do this. Now, that's kind of what you have to think about at the beginning. But after a while, it's just going to become second nature, and your hands can do it without you even thinking, you know, three clicks this way, three clicks that way, and you're good to go. So get comfortable with manual exposure. Even if you're going to shoot AV mode, get comfortable and use the counting clicks method.
Okay,
that's my other recommendation. And finally, turning pro is technically a fourth one, but if you want to earn money as a pro, you need to define your target market. And what I always tell people is it's extremely difficult to be a success if you're a sports, wedding, baby, maternity, food, newspaper shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Pick a horse. Pick something to be in. Now, it doesn't mean you can't take jobs in other realms, but you want to pick something that you can be good at and market yourself there. Now, maybe it's something that you're good at. Maybe it's something you like to do. Maybe it's something that comes up. Maybe you have like 12 high schools around you, and they all need senior portraits. Now, that might be something that you market yourself at, because there's just that much business around.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, senior portraits are a pretty popular thing in the States anyways. I don't know if they're done in Canada yet. Are they done?
I think people are doing them, but I don't think they're paying big bucks to do them.
Okay. When you think about somebody turning pro, what do you imagine being the easiest segue into that market?
Probably family portraits.
I was hoping you were going to say weddings.
No, I don't think so. That seems way too difficult.
I think it does. I think realistically it is, but I think a lot of people see it as I think it is a good entry point into being professional, because I mean there's an awful lot of weddings and almost everybody wants a photographer, even though they have, you know, every guest is technically a photographer now. But I think they still want to hire somebody regardless. And so there is quite a large market out there. And now, like you said, it does sound very difficult. But I think if you market yourself properly, you can market yourself to whatever level you feel comfortable. Meaning you say, listen, I'm not a super pro, so I'm not going to go out and charge $10,000, but I'm going to come out and shoot your wedding for, you know, a few hundred. And people should understand that that's what they're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so as long as you don't
taper your expectations.
It is. Yeah. You absolutely have to. I talk an awful lot about expectation calibration, which was, I think that was a cartoon on way back in the 70s, how a bill becomes a law or something like that. But you absolutely have to calibrate your expectations and accordingly. On the flip side, like I said in the answer, it's difficult work, extremely hard, to the point that I don't want to market myself as a wedding photographer, because it's just an awful lot of hard work in a situation where I don't want. It sounds bad because I'm not allergic to hard work, but just not in the field that I want to do it in. And also, you're competing with, if you're going to be really good at it, you're competing with Amber Hughes.
Yeah, and probably a whole bunch of other really good photographers.
And I'm going to shoot you straight. I don't want to compete with Amber Hughes when it comes to weddings, because I look at my images and I feel like I feel like I'm a good photographer. I mean, you're going to get some good images from your day, but I'm no Amber. Hers are awesome, like just breathtaking, and so. However, she does charge accordingly. She's not doing it for $300. So there you go. So there are people who aren't going to spend whatever it is that she charges, and so you can market yourself in there. So it's absolutely, again, it's a great learning ground or training ground. So there you go. That was the advice that I gave.
Okay.
That was page one of a 40-page essay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
So with that, any more questions, send them in. We're going to have actual Q&A shows, full on, because when people wrote these, they weren't anticipating me reading them out on the air.
Right.
Next ones, anticipate them. They might get read on the air. So we'll try to do that once a month or once every 2 months or something like that. We'll sneak a Q&A show in.
And anybody who has questions about stuff that they should buy, I love spending other people's money. So, yeah, feel free. You know, they can email the two hosers. They can address it to one or both of us. Specific, you know, the more information, the more specific they want to get is great, because then we can give them very, very specific advice, especially about what to buy. So
yeah, sure.
If people are looking at what they need to buy next and lay it all out in terms of what their interests are and what their budget is, then I'm pretty sure that we can give some good advice in that realm.
So post the questions on our Facebook or Google Plus or Twitter. We'll accept questions via Twitter, which is nice because they're much shorter.
Mm-hmm. And that's easy for me because I don't check Twitter.
Yeah, so. No, I will send them to you though. And or post them on our site. You can post them there. Or go ahead and email us directly, questions@twohosers.com. And we'll get those and we'll get them up on the show.
Okay.
Adam, next week's challenge. Do you have one?
You're going to, no, I knew you were going to ask that. You're going to say, I'm going to say no. And then you're going to tell me the one that you have preloaded.
It's like an old married couple.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do have one. I always give you the opportunity to suggest one, but then you don't. So I know I have to have one ready to go.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Herbst. Herbst. It's technically pronounced Herbst.
Okay. What's that?
I'll just translate for you.
Sure.
Autumn. Fall.
Okay.
Something to do with autumn or fall, or the same thing, or Herbst.
I'm not sure it's really, truly, we're not there yet.
It's hopefully going to be this week, isn't it? Aren't you seeing signs of it?
Little bit.
Any leaves on the ground, Adam?
There are some leaves, but just, I mean, from my idea, falls, like the leaves are everywhere and the kids are jumping in them. We don't have that.
Okay, do you want to wait a week or so?
Yeah, do you got another one?
No. No. This is where, if you don't like it, you go ahead. Whoever doesn't like the cooking is the new chef.
Right.
So.
So you didn't have like a second sort of preloaded one.
No, I have a list of 9 in case you don't like one of the ones. I don't know what I have one that's really gonna hammer you. You're not gonna like it, but
Germany.
Yeah, close.
Okay, wooden shoes.
No. Let's. Okay, this has nothing to do with me. This is just gonna be. I want you to do travel. Now, that doesn't mean... Now, I'm going to give you a hint. I'm not thinking necessarily vacation. I just mean, like, transportation. So, you know what? Don't call it travel. I'm going to backtrack on that. Transportation. But next week, we're going to shorten it and sound cool and call it transpo.
Okay.
Oh, you don't get to argue. You've already shot down the first one.
I'm starting to warm up to fall.
Tough break.
Okay, transportation.
Next week. So this will be transportation of some sort. That's up to you. And you could phone it in and just take a picture of, I don't know, a fishing boat again.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Here's my kid holding the Stanley Cup in front of a fishing boat.
Yeah.
Yep, that's what we could do. Where can people find your stuff, Adam?
SchwartzChronicles.com sometimes. And our Two Hosers Facebook site.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. How about your stuff?
AlanAttridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find links to everything you need to know. I think it's all on there now. Up to date, you can find all the links that we're going to put on there. So that, and you can, more importantly, find the Amazon links on the right-hand side of our page. Or if you're on an iPad, I think they show up at the bottom of the page. I don't know for sure.
Okay. I don't know.
Okay. But look for us on there. That's it. Until next week. Get out there and make better photos.